Welcome to Pro Tips for the Pros, brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads. In this series, we'll explore essential advice for professional contractors to deliver outstanding renovation results. Let's dive in. Prioritize quality craftsmanship and materials to deliver results that exceed the customer's expectations. Attention to detail and superior workmanship will leave a lasting impression and ensure customer satisfaction. Thank you for joining us for this pro tip on planning thorough renovations. Stay tuned for more expert advice brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads.
A lot of people tolerate ordinary. Ordinary bathrooms, kitchens, entryways. Well, not on your watch. If you're a pro, you've got a new partner in town. Floor & Decor. From tile to wood to stone, Floor & Decor has more styles and job lot quantities of Schluter, Mappe, Laetocrete, and other brands pros trust. Come see a whole new way to wow with Floor & Decor. Coming soon to Bailey's Crossroads.
Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Hello, ciaoone. I don't even know how to start this one, everybody. Usually we do the post-mortems the day after, Andy. Our schedules didn't align yesterday, so we had an unplanned 24-hour rule, which allowed us to digest further what took place the other day between Roma and Bologna. It's depressing to even talk about this. Even more depressing when you look at the probable formations that are potential for this weekend when Roma face Inter. It's depressing for a lot of reasons, one of which is obviously out of Roma's hands with this refereeing stuff. Can we just start there? Let's just start with that, because I want to get this off my chest, because I complained about it in the last episode, how Roma have been so unlucky with this refereeing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I remember
I added to that, watch out for the players that are one yellow card away from suspension.
I don't even know what to say. What is this? What the is happening? How does that happen again? You know, if I were the AIA, okay, and I see that Roma have been fucked this season, okay, you know what I'm doing? I'm putting my very best referees in that match, and I'm assuring them, or I'm reinforcing to them, listen, they've been on the wrong end a lot, okay? We can't get this wrong, okay? We can't get it wrong. Andy, do I start with the Tammy Abraham joke of a yellow card? Do I start with the entire performance, 0-90? You want to believe that this is bad luck, okay? And I'm not sitting on here again. I'm not doing the conspiracy theorist thing, okay? I'm not going there. But, like, at some point, we have to have an intervention of some sort, because this just can't go on.
No, it can't. And, you know, the funny thing is that they always, the fact that Pairetto is going straight down to Serie B.
Yes.
You know, this weekend.
Did you see what match, by the way?
Yeah, it's something with Brescia and Monza. Is that
it's
the Berlusconi special.
That's
the way the refereeing association of Italy basically admits that we've messed up again. When you referee a relatively big game in Serie A and with a big team involved, if you can consider Roma a big team, and then you see yourself 3 days later coaching in the fog of Lombardia, it's never a good sign. That means that you didn't do a good job, and that's pretty much the case of what would happened against Bologna. Really, that was your typical game that should have ended in a draw.
Yes.
Where it was, you know,
hold on. We can complain about the refereeing, and I'm fully on board with that. Okay. 0-90, though. I think Roma, statistics, they tell 20% of the story. You have to watch the match to see the other 80%. However, they do give you at least an eye, a small glimpse into what happened. Roma, they had the higher XG. freaking Tammy Abraham. Listen, love him. Ecstatic that Edin Dzeko is gone. Of course, as I say that, Jorginho has been ramped up to 25. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did I even have to mention that? I think we're all expecting it.
No, yeah? We're done. Pedro scored. Dzeko will be next.
I mean, he's at least getting a brace. Would I be surprised if he pulled off the hat trick? Of course not. But that
if we were playing in Qatar, Zonzi would have scored against us.
Yeah, he would have. Here's the thing, though, okay? And I'm glad Dzeko is gone. Very glad. Even more glad Tammy Abraham is here. We understand that you have to be patient with young guys, especially one new country, new environment, so on and so forth. If we want to talk about individual XG, though, do not go and look at his and do not look up big chances missed, because you don't want to see who is sitting atop of Serie A. And Andy, I'll give you two guesses as to who that is. Okay, so listen, I don't think, okay, you can expect him to be perfect. I don't think you can really ask him to do much more, because even though he's wasted a lot of chances, okay, should we expect, okay, let me reword that because that was terribly worded. Should we expect him to score more goals? Yes. But you know what? Everything else that, you know, I hate the doesn't show up in the statistics sort of phraseology where you kind of dismiss somebody not scoring as to giving them a pass to not getting goals, but they do other things. I do think it's true to at least a certain extent. However, he has been a very, very positive player for Roma. That being said, I am convinced that he could have this season, just do it all over again, and there would be no way that he would miss some of these. Like, it almost is like some of his misses defy odds. You know, Dzeko...
It's not. It's still not at the level of Dzeko against Palermo. Okay.
No. That's, okay.
That's yes. Really. That's sort of.
That's the one you Mount and I Rushmore. Talk about all yeah. the time. Yeah. It's the best.
Because no player has ever made a face like Maicon in the history of football.
His reaction afterwards, where he puts his hands on his bald head.
Yeah.
And his jaw is on the pitch. Is. Yeah. How that isn't a consistent meme among yeah. Roma Twitter is astonishing to me. Somebody out there, please.
Yeah, had that been for like Barcelona, Real Madrid, had he played at that moment for a bigger team, that would have become meme history. Unfortunately, it went under yes. the radar.
Even for him, where it's kind of like the same discussion that we have with the referees, where you're just saying, you know, it has to be bad luck. We're not chalking it up to anything else. At some point, this is going to end. Okay. It just, we don't know when, but it will just end. But man, some of these misses that he's had are so depressing. And it's like, not even scoring half of them. We don't need you to score half of them. Just score a quarter of them. The difference that he would make with just scoring, you know, I think it's 9 big chances missed. You know, just one or two of those, and we're looking at 6 points. We're looking at 4 points, 5 points. It's not necessarily the number of misses that he's had or big chances missed that he's had. It's more so like the timing, the circumstance surrounding them. They've been devastating misses. Juve, the one against Bologna. He had one against Napoli. It's, again... You know, Dzeko, we could live with, okay, yes, he missed a lot of them, but, you know, you're pummeling Palermo 5-0, his miss, not that big of a deal, albeit still funny, still sad, still makes you want to curl up in the fetal position. However, it ultimately didn't, you know, cost. Now, were there times where Dzeko cost Roma? Of course. Of course. I mean, we don't even have to go down the list. However, with Tammy... I just hurt even more for him because it seems like these misses have, you know, not just been ordinary ones where you're dismantling Spezia 5-0. Okay, we can live with that. It's Napoli, Juve, you know, just matches that are defined by such thin margins that ultimately those few chances that you get, allowing them to go by the wayside has cost Roma. So they've been that more devastating. I mean, where are you at with him? Because I think we would all agree, right? You have to at least expect this to a certain extent. Again, new player, young, let's be patient, new environment. Still doesn't speak Italian. I'm not losing hope. I'm not discouraged with him. I'm just saying it makes the experience a bit more painful than normal. Yeah.
Well, I'm still going to say what I said, the other times, because to me, this is a player who, came up from a different league and found himself in a team that is far from perfect and a team that is still trying to find its own identity. And it has been a struggle for everybody. And once again, when I point to his difficulties, I'll point to also the difficulties of everybody around him. It's not like other players are going in and making shots and scoring goals. I'm saying even a pro like Mkhitaryan is missing chances left and right. Somebody like Zaniolo, who used to be very clinical in his first 2 years at Roma, where it seemed like every opportunity that he got in front of goal, he'd make something happen, is not producing it. And with Pellegrini gone, we're looking at maybe we can rely on El Shaarawy, maybe, but El Shaarawy, has he ever been that kind of guy who becomes a goal scoring machine? Only once, and it was in our worst season, really, the season where Di Francesco departed halfway through and Ranieri took over. What I mean is that, again, Tammy is doing a lot of things right, and I think that the team will definitely suffer against Inter, not only because it's Inter, because listen, we'll get to it later, but we'll suffer in construction, in getting the ball back, in when we're not in possession and pressing. We're definitely gonna miss that, because he is really doing it all out there, and definitely not slacking. Definitely not a player that when the chance, the key chance is missed and he misses a wide open goal, he hangs his head low and basically stops working for the team. No, he does exactly the opposite. He starts working harder for the team, and that's always nice to see. So that's a big aspect. And then the other big aspect is the scoring. And the scoring sometimes is, you see him score that bicycle kick after missing really headers. And a lot of it has also been him being, really unlucky. If you go back to those opening games, he hit the post like 5-6 times, the crossbar 3-4 times. It's ridiculous. Trying not to make excuses for him, but I'm just saying that the whole team is at a point where they have to figure out what they're really good at. And like Tammy, they do a lot of things right, but then some very simple things that might pave the way to success, might pave the way toward an easy victory, because you get one goal here, you got one goal there, and you're 2-0 up, and you can start basically going on cruise control against, a lesser opponent. The Roma haven't done that so far. Even against Genoa, they were drawing until the 75th minute. It was a stressful game. Even though you had control over the game, even though you were the team that was producing more, even though you were the team that was more dangerous, you still were looking at a game that would probably end with 1 point had Felix not been out there, and with just some of his, again, just simplicity, just one touch football. Okay, we can score like that. It's not complicated. I told you after that game, that was what the team needed. They needed somebody to come in, with his mind not really trapped by all the limitations, all the noise, all the rumors going around the team that they can do this, they can do that. He just went on and he scored exactly one of those chances that the likes of Abraham, Zaniolo, Mkhitaryan have missed all season long. And it wasn't complicated. It was just very, very simple. The symptoms that Abraham is experiencing are the symptoms of a team. Just like I believe that Edin Dzeko in his first year with Roma is also experiencing, well, that is also more, I think that is more freakish because there you have a veteran, somebody who's, you know, cemented himself in the history of Bundesliga, of the Premier League, and you're like, what's happening? What's wrong? But Dzeko in that season struggled because also the team struggled. That team was filled with highs and lows, and until Spalletti appeared. And remember, Spalletti appears and says, you're going straight to the bench, okay? And he sort of basically says, okay, I'm just punting it. I'm going with Totti and Perotti. And only the season afterwards, where that team learned to be more consistent, they learned how to play with Dzeko. They started to get a feel, Salah and Dzeko, that really where it was the where they could find each other without any issues. That's where it became easier for him. For Tammy, these are the symptoms of a striker who's come in here, asked to take over from you know, Dzeko, who still, despite those terrible last 2 years, is a striker for the history books. Tammy comes in here and is asked to sort of, I don't know, I guess from the fans, the expectation is, oh, you're a name from the Premier League, you got to change things. This kid is 24. It's his first experience abroad, and he's in a team that is far, far from perfect, and a team that really every week we question, what are they really good at? You know, oh, they have so much potential here, but on the other hand, they're conceding goals, then they're not conceding goals, but at the same time, they cannot score. So what's going on? These are not the symptoms of a team that is healthy, of a team that is strong, of a team that knows what it's doing. These guys question themselves at every step of the way. They win against Torino, they huddle around, you expect them to go out at Bologna, at Stadio Dall'Ara, one of my favorite places because it's right next to my family cemetery, in Certosa Cemetery. I have half of my family buried out there, beautiful cemetery. And it's a wonderful experience to go to the stadium and then right after go to the cemetery to pay your respects.
Oh, I thought, well,
no,
well,
okay,
that is very lovely, but yeah, you know my complaints, yes, of this stadium. I was there during a very... they were having plumbing issues is probably the only way I can put it.
Okay, well, listen, come on. You know, you have to have the full experience, okay? You cannot expect to go to an Italian stadium in a smaller team and expect not to have the clogged up toilet experience. Okay, that's that's part of the charm. That's so.
Yes, walking out on the concourse to leave, and then you just see a trail of stuff,
yes,
from some individual.
That's what makes it magic. Okay, that's, you gotta appreciate those moments. So I'm not sure that if you go to a stadium for the NFL, you're not gonna see some guy puking out his hot dogs. Okay?
That it,
just
point taken. You're correct.
Okay, but anyway, you know, it's so this team, you expect them after that win against Torino, where it was really difficult, it was grind out, it was tough. You felt like it was a bit of a relief both for Mourinho and the team to finally come away from a game, you know, where you just you struggled until the very end, but you pulled it off somehow, some way. And you expect them to go into this game at Bologna and be like, okay, we're gonna take care of this, and then we're gonna think about Torino. Instead, no, they go in and they have so many problems, so many obstacles. Everything is a problem, everything is an obstacle, everything is way more difficult than it actually is. It appears so. Even for the players that, like Mkhitaryan, again, who are supposed to be there for you in those games, life becomes difficult all of a sudden. So I'm just saying that, yes, it's disappointing to see Tammy with only 4 goals in the league. That's definitely not going to give you the position that you want in the standings. And my hope is that he will be able to turn it around this season. But I'm just saying it's got to take the whole team for that to work. For you know, you have to be really a once-in-a-lifetime talent or a really, really special player who has already worked on himself, worked on his environment, knows what the expectations are, knows how to fight through those expectations in order not to get overwhelmed by them, to carry the team. You know, it's very rarely do you see a striker that is able to carry the team on his back, make the team function as a whole just by scoring goals. And definitely it's something that we want to see more of from Tammy, but I think we will start to see that once the team learns how to be confident. It's a matter of confidence. It's a matter of confidence in the striker, and it's a matter of confidence for the whole team.
Amplify your career through training and development solutions specifically designed for federal government professionals. From courses to help you attain or retain certification, to individualized coaching services, to programs that hone your leadership skills and business acumen, Management Concepts optimizes your professional development. Online, in person, individually, or groups, it's training that's measurably better. Learn more at managementconcepts.com. That's managementconcepts.com.
Yeah, it's really puzzling as to what we need or can make of all of this because, you know, statistically, by the data, Roma have been the better team. I mean, in these losses, Andy, okay, beyond, you know, Hellas Verona, has there been a match where you just felt like, okay, definitively this Roma is much worse, much, much worse? Let's go down the line. Verona.
Probably, yeah, the Milan game, probably.
That's exactly where I was going. So that was the only one in my mind where I thought to myself, you know, wow, Roma just are not near the level of their opponent. They're just not. They played better than Juve. They played better than Napoli. Played better than Bologna. Verona, whatever. The derby, come on, give me a break. I don't know if that's a positive or a negative, though, right? That's ultimately where I'm going with this, wherein you're the better team, but you're still not getting victories. You're losing.
Right.
I mean, to have 6 losses already before January is crazy, in my opinion. Crazy.
Yeah, but also you see the number of chances that we create, the number of goals that we concede that is relatively low for a team that has 6 losses on its track record. You know, again, these are all signs that point to a team that is doing a lot of things right, but they're not doing them with 100% confidence, with 100% conviction, that they determination that this is, you know, every time. After every game, I have to hear the players say, oh, we lacked determination in front of goal. Oh, we lacked that last touch, that last touch that would have granted us a victory, that, you know, that last step that would have helped us get a win. Every time I hear that, and it's frustrating for us, and it's frustrating for the players because they see, oh, we're doing so many things right, but there is always something missing, and it's missing, and it's something that they will have to, in one way or another, work it out. I'm glad that this is at the beginning of the season, actually, because I don't believe that, you know, this is again after Torino. I was, you know, you heard one side of the story. Oh, it's so wonderful. Mourinho has found the right ingredients, the right tactics. This is all working so beautifully. Now it's back to, oh, after they lose against Inter, top 4 is gone. Everything is gone. Hopeless, dark, darkness, you know, Middle Ages. No, it's good that it's happening now. You're going to have the whole rest of the season to work it out. this team is being put to a test so many times that at some point, with a manager like Mourinho, I expect them to turn it around. Because, listen, you're going to go into this Inter game without Karsdorp, without Abraham, without Pellegrini, without El Shaarawy, and without a sixth man of the bench in Felix, who's basically is regarded by Mourinho as the solution to everything. So I'm just saying, you know, that is difficult. You're looking at a whole month of December without your captain. You're missing Spinazzola from day one. There is so many, you know, variables missing, and everything sort of, you know, this team tries to do something right and they get hit and shoved and kicked, and at some point they'll have to find a way to get back on their feet. You know, at some point they'll have to find a way to react, to make it count. And I think that it's good that it's happening now, because you do have the opportunity to get back into it. And if not this season, next season it is. But this season was always about that. And again, I feel like a crazy man when I have to repeat those things, because every time I see these reactions after these games where it's, now this is another thing, man. This is just another thing that drives me absolutely nuts.
That's where you were going with that.
No, I don't know what it is, but there is a sect now. It's become a cult of anti-Zaniolo people, okay? I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because of all the Mourinho fanboys are new to this thing. They don't know how it works. They don't know who he is. They don't know what he's been through. I don't know, but the amount of just pure hatred and I don't know, very aggressive behavior toward a kid that has suffered two ACL injuries and
who is, as you just said, I have to interject, is without a doubt the most gifted youngster in all of the Serie A. So please stop. This anti-Zaniolo stuff. I will put this kindly, and this is the kindest way I can put it. You have no clue of football, if that is your take on the situation. You don't. Switch to lacrosse, switch to cricket.
Curling is good. Perfect.
Yeah, just not football ain't for you, man.
I don't know
how you can get to that conclusion. Like, if you think that's the issue right now, we're watching different sports.
Oh yeah, right? I'm seeing comments. You know, I'm seeing people, and not only fans. I'm seeing, you know, journalists. The starting 11 is problematic because Zaniolo doesn't give you this, doesn't offer you that. Zaniolo is playing for three guys. You know, the guy is working his ass off there, and he's playing in a completely different position than he used to, with completely different duties than he used to. When Zaniolo was at his best, it was because he was a kid who was basically told, go out there and do nice things with the ball at your feet. And he did. And it was, we liked him and we loved him. And it was fun to watch him do that, because he basically didn't have any other responsibilities. If you go back to watching Zaniolo from two seasons ago or whatever, it's a player that moves completely differently, and not just because of the injuries, but because he is thinking only about the offensive side of the ball. Now Zaniolo is basically put out there to really give a hand almost everywhere. He's asked to be played as striker, as midfielder. He's helping out Karsdorp. He's doing this, he's doing that, and he's growing into a different player. And but to say, you know, that again, that this team's troubles are not related to individual issues. This team is not struggling because Tammy Abraham is not scoring, just as this team is not struggling because Zaniolo doesn't, you know, fulfill the expectations of Mourinista 10309 from Nigeria. It's not. This team is struggling because a lot of things are not going right, and it's nice that if it has to happen, it's better that it happens now. I don't want to, you know what? So many times we are left in the dust in January, or worse yet, even in February, March, when you're like, oh, are we there? Are we good enough? Are we good enough? And then you get slapped in the face and you realize that you're not good enough. This Roma team is doing a lot of things right. And this Roma team maybe, you know, has a lot of potential, but they're not there yet. They're not a team that is ready. They're not a team that, you know, like Spalletti walks into Napoli. Yeah, he asks for one or two players, gets them, but has a team that has been together for quite some time, has a team that, despite all the difficulties that they've experienced again with Gattuso, it's the core had been the same for quite some time. This team is different. There are a lot of different things in the equation, and a lot of bad luck, because when you end up without easily your best player in Lorenzo Pellegrini, also an important figure in the locker room, without you start off the season without your best left back, easily one of the best wing backs in the league and in Europe,
in the form of his life.
Yeah. And you start off like that, and everything that sort of went into the season that we're currently watching, you knew that these difficulties should be expected. And that's why I'm always surprised by their reaction, because a game like Bologna was a pain in the ass. A pain in the ass. You want to see that team succeed. You want to see them get it right after Torino. Torino should have been the game that sort of says, oh, we actually can pull it off, and then go on to win Bologna and then think about Inter. Instead, no, they went into Bologna. They messed it up. They lost key players. Because now you're looking at playing against Inter with Ibanez at right back and Shomurodov starting, maybe Carles Perez on the left, or maybe even Vigna on the left. That just shows you that this team is not ready. It's as simple as that. This team is not ready. It should have been expected. I also hope that these things will work themselves out as the season progresses. But again, it's, you know, it's disappointing, yes, to see this team have 6 losses on its track record so early on. But at the same time, it's better to get those symptoms out of the way early on, to acknowledge them and to start working on them, than actually have them pop up in crucial moments of the season.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, we all knew death was going to be an issue. Okay, look at this matchup coming, man. I mean, look who Inter can call off of their bench. You know, how much did they spend on Correa? 30 million euros?
Yeah.
You know, on their bench, okay? There is a important gap, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, okay? We have to, and I feel like I'm lamenting here as if this is, you know, somebody passed away or something. But I think the tough part is sort of acknowledging where and what the situation is. And I know it's never fun to do. It's difficult to do. Are we guilty of maybe overrating this team before the season? Of course. Everybody gets excited, you know, especially when you appoint a manager like Jose Mourinho. Of course you're going to get a bit ahead of yourself. Nobody should be, you know, feeling bad or feel guilty about that. But when you just look at the landscape, man, you know, who else do they have coming off their bench? Sensi, Vecino, Gagliardini, Vidal, Sanchez. I mean, Andy, these are guys. Sanchez, do you want to add him on the Roma's wage list? Go see where he would end up. Okay, there is an important gap here. Now, that doesn't mean that Roma should be doing silly things. That doesn't mean they should be, you know, missing chances. But I think we at least have to acknowledge the situation. Now, we acknowledge the bad. Or I'm sorry, the things, I guess, more so in Roma's control. Let me get to things that are not. I want to go back to the refereeing thing one more time before we go, because I'm sick of this bullshit, man. I, you know, very rarely do I find myself just sitting there feeling helpless. Okay. You want to know why I'm more mad about the match against Bologna? I'm more mad after that than, like, say, a match against Verona. Okay. Because against Verona, Roma played like shit. Okay. I've seen, Andy, Roma play like shit more times than I care to admit. Okay. More time has been sunk into watching shit Romas. Time I will never get back. I mean, I've had
Remember Marcano?
I could have nine kids.
Remember Marcano playing against Bologna? Oh, remember that
yes.
game?
Yes. 2019. King Ivan. Oh, yeah, that was fun. Good times. But seriously, you know, it's for all of us. No matter if you've been watching Roma one season, one decade, one millennium, you know, what it may seem like for a lot of us. Okay. We've seen this Roma play bad a lot. Okay. We can live with that. We're used to that. What I can't live with, though, you know, the other day brought me back to moments like, you know, 2014, Juve Roma, where, you know, it doesn't matter how good or poor you are playing. It feels like there are forces, particularly the refereeing association, that are just working against you that will not allow Roma to get an important result. And I know I probably sound like, come on, the guy's name, the conspiracy guy.
Alex Jones? Always the,
yes. I was going to say there's that meme of him before and after where he's just...
Yeah, the same, just a little bit more red.
that's more or less, you know... I'm not going down that path, and I'm not saying that the Calciopoli 20.0 is ongoing. But Andy, there are times where, and maybe this is just, you know, having grown up in Asiago, Vicenza, where just, I don't know, you feel like a victim, just like every other Italian who's a supporter of Roma. I don't know. Maybe those of you in, like, Canada, let me know if this happens to you too. We're like, you sort of just feel like a victim, and it doesn't even matter what happens. You know, you know how this is going to end. And, you know, I sat there just watching some of the things. For instance, let's start with Tammy's yellow card. Now, I complained about VAR the other day, okay? Clear and obvious. What about that action warranted a yellow card when you have supposedly half a dozen refereeing professionals watching that? Can you explain to me how that is not overturned? Right. Where clearly this was done with no intention. Clearly you had some shithousing on the part of Bologna. How does nobody, okay, within this group say, whoa, hold on, clearly we've gotten this one wrong? You know, why is it my Uncle Enzo, 65, on his couch in Vicenza, watching it on his iPad 2, which came out like 10 years ago, how come he can see that, but the guys who are supposed professionals can't? Why is that? And why, and this is where I've yet to be given a satisfactory explanation, why is this happening to Roma at a significantly higher mark? And the penalties thing, I don't want to get into that. We gave Milan a hard time, or at least I gave Milan a hard time. Inter have morphed into Milan when it comes to the penalties now, yeah? Because I think they're in first by a pretty healthy margin for penalties awarded, if I'm not mistaken. Could be, so, yeah.
And Roma are, on the other hand, on, like, the bottom.
Well, that's exactly where I'm going with this. So all of the recipes for your usual Monday episode where you and I are sitting here, or Sunday, Monday, whenever we decide to come out of our coma, all of the recipe for a episode filled with further complaining about the referees, VAR, why this is fixed, a conspiracy against Roma, all of the recipes are there. They're, we just have to wait to put it on the stove, in the oven, in the refrigerator, whatever metaphor you want to use. Why does it seem like that Roma are really the only ones on the wrong end of this? And I'm not saying things are fixed, okay? I'm not saying that referees are human. Mistakes will be made. I can live with that. I can't live with it continuing at this pace. I can't, because it's not right. And I know we can talk about this ad nauseum and we will sound like whiny little babies. And I completely understand why anybody would have that conclusion. But you're not watching Roma with the same attention to detail as we are. And you're not invested to the same level that we are, of course. So at some point, this has to end, Andy. And frankly, I have to tell you, I'm disappointed that Roma have not come out stronger. In fact, I messaged their head of communications, asking if they would be putting out some sort of communication like they like Thiago Pinto did in his interview after, wasn't it the Derby in Udinese, where he came out and he was pretty pissed off. Yeah,
and also because, no, that was afterwards. He actually put it afterwards. That was after the Milan game. And also Mourinho declined to speak today ahead of the match, which basically says a lot about... Well, a lot of things, a lot of what's been going on around this team, the talk, and the fact that if he were to come on, he'd have to address it, and he has already addressed that, and the club has already addressed that. But it's one thing when your team has problems of their own, and Roma, again, have plenty of problems of their own, which they need to sort themselves out. But you watch then games where... You're basically handing the opponent the game on a silver platter, as the referee did, you know, by booking Abraham against Inter for the Inter suspension, or in all other games where, for example, Pellegrini got that second yellow against Udinese, against the red card, and misses the derby. That is going to compromise your work at some point.
Without a doubt. And as you just said, okay, it's not as if opponents this season have needed any extra help. You know, Roma have been more than willing on certain occasions to hand over a gift to their opponent, okay? There's going to be bumps in the road. I was prepared for that. What I wasn't prepared for is this just... utter incompetency, and you can't help but feel, as I said the other day, especially coming into a big match like this against Inter, right? I mean, Andy, the whistle hasn't even blown, okay? And already Roma, because of refereeing mistakes, they're missing their number one striker, okay? Pellegrini's out, Spinazzola's out, you've gone down the line, okay? I'm already deflated, and we haven't even entered the first fucking minute of this match.
This
and
is
already
gonna be,
I feel defeated.
For the people that expected a preview, I'm going to give you a preview of this game. This is, imagine Little Bighorn with Custer getting wiped out by I believe, what was it, the Apaches anyway, or Lakotas. I don't remember, but anyway, Custer got absolutely massacred at Little Bighorn, and I expect that to happen in the 21st century. At the Stadio Olimpico against Simone Inzaghi's Inter. There is absolutely, it's either we pull off the shithousery miracle of the millennium, or we get absolutely massacred out there. And when it comes to Roma, I have to bet my money on the massacre rather than the miracle.
Oh, jeez.
There you go. Enjoy.
Wow. Okay. Well, Portuguino time, two or three for Dzeko?
Two sounds reasonable. Three would be if Kolarov came on, but I'm hearing that he is looking good.
That guy, is he still alive? He's still playing.
I don't know.
Oh, okay, everyone, have a great weekend. Okay. Well, we will, of course, we will keep our fingers crossed. We'll be back after the match. Who the hell knows at this point? I've lost words. I mean, this is so, it's one thing to be kicked in the groin mid-match. I'm used to that. But having it linger for 48 hours into the next match, that seems a bit cruel. But who knows? Who knows? Maybe they'll pull one from their backside. Let's see. Sure. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you to our wonderful patrons for your support. Of course, we will be back after the weekend. Stay safe. Please, Roma. Just please. That's all we'll say. All right. Until next time. Ciao.
Ciao.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.